This is Jody Apple.
Here's what we've noted so far. We've noted that faith is necessary, but that faith alone is not enough. We've noted that the Bible addresses different types of faith, and that saving faith involves a process. Today, we will begin examining the next point in our series of studies, that there are two stages or two phases of saving faith. Next, we will note that baptism is an end of one stage or one phase, and that it stands at the beginning of another stage or another phase of saving faith. And then finally, we will examine the Great Commission in the book of Mark from the standpoint of its connection to this kind of faith, a saving faith, the Messiah, and the subject of baptism. Let's continue with where we left off in our prior studies. Again, if you've missed any of the other lessons, the first and the second in the week, you can go to our website, internationalgospelhour.com. During the broadcast week that starts on Sunday, November 1st, you'll find all of the messages for the week linked at the main page. After that, you will find them archived at the Media tab at the top of our menu bar. Here's what we've noted. Faith is necessary. It's not enough to have faith only. There are types of faith. Saving faith is a process, and we're about to investigate the next point. There are two stages of saving faith. Consider this. The Bible teaches that salvation is not only a process, but a process that involves two distinct stages, or phases if you prefer, each a process in its own right. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and the first four verses in order to introduce that idea. Here's what Paul says to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This passage, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, teaches that salvation involves two phases. First, the process by which we obtain the forgiveness of sins, and second, the process by which we maintain the forgiveness of sins. The first phase or stage includes this. The gospel is declared or preached. Paul said, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you. Second, it involves the reception of the gospel. Paul says, which also you received. Third, it involves standing in the gospel. Paul said, and in which you stand. And fourth, it involves salvation. Paul said, by which also you are saved. The second stage takes up immediately where the first stage ends. We note this. First, salvation. Paul said, by which also you are saved. Note this, that is the completion of the first phase and the continuation of the second phase. And second, Paul speaks about continued faithfulness. We see that in the words, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you. The difference between the respective phases or stages can be summed up in two words, faith and faithful. In stage one, we come to, that is, we are obedient to, and saved by faith. In stage two, we continue in faith, obedience, and over time develop into a faithful Christian. This is the real importance of the latter part of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, which says this, for to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe. The latter part of the verse affirms God's intention and God's potential to save all men. His will in this regard is universal. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 talks about that God wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth by which they're going to be saved. That's also brought out in 1 John 2, the opening two verses, and 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. That's not just the will of God as being universal towards all men, but it is also the will of Christ, Matthew 18:11, in Luke 19:10. Some might take the passage to mean that God, who wants all men to be saved, will simply save all those who believe, as if believing alone constitutes the entirety of salvation. God's and Christ's ability to save man is certainly conditioned on man's faith, but this is not the intent of the passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. The phrase, those who believe, obviously includes the word believe, a verb. But in spite of the fact that most translations use believe in this verse, the word that appears there is not a verb in the Greek New Testament. The term that appears is an adjective. It appears in verse 9, where it is usually incorrectly translated as faithful, as in the expression faithful saying. The word appears again in verse 12. There, Timothy is encouraged to be an example to the believers. Believers is a noun. But the word that appears there is an adjective, just as it is in verse 9 and in verse 10. The point is that the adjective is sometimes or usually rendered as an adjective in verse 9, but as a verb in verse 10, and as a noun in verse 12. But the word denotes faithful. The verses should, for consistency, read respectively. This is a faithful saying. Christ saves those who are faithful, and to Timothy, be an example to the faithful. What's the point? Souls are saved not just because they believe, but because their belief compels them ultimately, eventually, to be and to become faithful. That's consistent with the use of the term that appears in this text. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 focuses not just on what people do, but more so on what they become and on what they are. The verse only implicitly concerns actions inherent in believing. The primary focus is directed towards those who believe, and those who believe must be faithful. Belief or faith requires action in many contexts, but faithful requires more than that. It requires character. The reality and the significance of the two distinct aspects of the process of salvation here, one leading to faith and the other one leading to faithfulness, is confirmed in the expression that we see in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14, the same word we see in 1 Timothy 4:10, to describe the army that's with Jesus the Lamb. As a whole, the theme of the book of Revelation surpasses our initial call to faith. It expects and demands faithfulness even under the most adverse of circumstances. The army that's pictured as being with the Lamb in Revelation 17 is, watch this, is identified as called, chosen, and faithful. This three-word description sums up the two stages that we've already introduced. The first two terms, called and chosen, comprise the first stage or the first phase. We are called by the gospel, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 12 and following. And we are chosen by God when we obey that gospel, Ephesians chapter 1, the first five verses. The third word in that expression, called, chosen, and faithful, in Revelation 17, 14, the third word, faithful, depicts the second stage or the second phase. We are faithful when we continue our submission to the Christ without surrendering to the world. That's what we see in 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, and also in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 2. Thus, Revelation 17, 14 shows the logical and chronological development of salvation as a two-stage process. It parallels the thought of 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 10, which says this, "Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble." The call and the election of 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 conforms to the called and chosen elements of Revelation chapter 17, 14's first phase. Making our election sure conforms to the second stage of Revelation 17, verse 14's term, faithful. In our next broadcast, we will examine point number 6 in our series of studies this week, in which we are focusing on the nature of faith in Mark's account of the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16. Point number 6 focuses on baptism. We will examine baptism as an end and baptism as a beginning. We will ask this question again at the beginning of our broadcast then. Is salvation as a process, including two separate yet connected and even continuous phases, what is it that separates these two phases or stages? The answer, baptism. Baptism not only separates those outside Christ from those inside Christ, that's both a class and a location distinction, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and Romans 6, 1 and following indicate that. It also separates the process of becoming a Christian from the process of remaining and becoming a faithful Christian. Thank you so much for listening today.